Hello, and welcome to the One of Us podcast. One of Us profiles people in and around the Diocese of Wilmington. It also appears in writing in our print edition and online at thedialogue.org. The featured subject could be someone who works behind the scenes at your local church or school, volunteers at the parish, or is a regular churchgoer or longtime parish member. Do you want to suggest a person to be profiled? My name is Amanda Cathcart, and I'm the sales and advertising rep here at The Dialogue. Send me an email at acathcart@thedialogue.org or call me directly at 302-295-0635 if you have a suggestion for an interview subject. Our guest this week is Alexis Scalama, a parishioner at St. Anne's Parish in Bethany Beach, Delaware. She was nominated by Parish Secretary Lourdes Besa. Alexis, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. So we'll just go ahead and get started. Alexis, where did you grow up and how long have you been involved with St. Anne's?
Well, I grew up in Binghamton, New York.
Okay.
And then moved to Rockville, Maryland just before my senior year in high school. And I've been involved with the parish probably since 2016 when I first moved here.
Okay, wonderful. So do you currently reside near Bethany Beach then?
Yes, I live in Bethany, my little piece of paradise.
That should be the tagline for the city, I think.
Don't tell anybody.
No, we'll keep it a secret. Tell me a little bit about your occupation and your family.
My parents had six girls, wow, and then finally a boy, and I'm the youngest daughter.
Okay.
So I grew up in a house full of lots of love and action and noise. A few years after college, I got married in 1973. Mm-hmm. I must have been a very, very young bride, of course.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I, we have three grown children, two boys, Andrew and Gregory, and also a daughter, Nicole. We have three grandsons who are just totally darling, light up our life every time we see them. As far as my career goes, I basically was a stay-at-home mom. But prior to that, I did have a career in retail management, mm-hmm, before I got married. And I worked at Garfinkel's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wonderful.
That was a lot of fun. I was single and living in D.C. and having my own apartment. That was a lot of fun to do. And then I got married,
mm-hmm,
and just 3 days after getting married, my husband and I, we moved to Rome.
Wow.
We lived for about 3 years, and I continued my career over there.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever met anyone who's lived in Rome before.
Actually, I have a son who lives in Rome now, and it's totally unrelated to why we went.
Yeah.
He and his wife and our grandson are living there now.
Wow. Can you speak Italian?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Can you speak Italian?
Well, I probably speak less now than I did when I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a few opportunities to go back and visit. And it does come back, but I never learned proper Italian.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that, you know, when I start drinking wine, I speak beautifully, but my husband assures me that it's only, you know, me that thinks I'm speaking well.
I'm sure it sounds wonderful, Alexis. let's see. What is the most important part of your spirituality?
Oh, wow. Let's see. That is a very, very heavy question. There's so many answers, and it changes daily, that's for sure.
Sure.
I would have to say that going to church each week and receiving the Eucharist would be very much at the top of my list.
Okay.
I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land,
wow,
just before the pandemic broke out with the parish in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We went in February and we got back just as everything was, you know, locking down over here. So we were very lucky. Timing was perfect. I think it came into my life right when I needed it,
mm-hmm,
this pilgrimage. And it just changed so much about my spirituality, gave a whole new meaning to the readings and the Gospels, they've just really come to life for me, actually being in the places mm-hmm. that are talked about. You know, walking there in the footsteps of Jesus, which was the name of our tour, mm-hmm. was absolutely a spiritual, life-changing experience. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important, I think, to reassess it all the time as far as, you know, your different experiences. I know before I moved to Rome, my mother told me, you know, make sure you find a Catholic church and do it as a parishioner, just in case, you know, just as soon as possible. Because she always said that no matter where you go in the world, you always feel at home when you go to church. And it was just great advice. So, you know, that connection has just been, you know, good with every parish I've ever joined. So I've enjoyed St. Anne's tremendously. It's been wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Let's
see. So what is it that keeps you going with your connection and the Catholic Church? Is it that feeling of community?
It is definitely the community. There's no doubt about it. We've got a very active, you know, social, spiritual parish. That's for sure. But I would have to say, you know, being a Eucharistic minister, which I've always wanted to do, and, you know, they say God chooses the time for you, and he really did you know, I have to believe that. When I came here, they were looking for some Eucharistic ministers, and, you know, I approached Sister Loretta, and I just love being a Eucharistic minister. It's fun, you know, to wait each week for the schedule to come out. Not each week, each quarter, mm-hmm. for the schedule to come out to see, you know, how many masses did I get this time? I just love doing it. But really, I'm very much involved with the annual summer bazaar.
Okay.
That has been, that takes up, you know, three quarters of my year. We start planning in February and, if you know, we work all summer. But that has been very much and keeps me involved in the parish. You know, the meeting all those volunteers, and they just continuously, you know, uplift me whenever I'm around them because mm-hmm. of their hard work and their dedication to the parish. Just makes you realize how, you know, what a wonderful group we have with Father Clemens. And, the entire parish staff just gives us, you know, so much support. It's really beyond measure.
Yeah.
That's been, you know, a huge part of my role at St. Anne's. I was also on the committee to reopen the church during the pandemic, and that created, you know, all different challenges and, you know, keeping up with the latest mandates from the governor and the bishop and, you know, working with parishioners and, you know, and making sure everybody just stayed safe. That was very important for me to be part of.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge undertaking.
It was pretty busy. It definitely was a pretty busy time for all of us.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, were thrilled, and they felt very comfortable and very safe returning to Mass. Mm-hmm. And that was the main goal, is we, you know, let's get them back into church. Let's get them back to the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you can only do so much with TV in today's world.
That's true. You can only do so much.
Definitely.
All right. A non-church member comes to you and asks, why should I be a Catholic? What would you tell them?
That's a good one. Mm. That is a good one. I don't know. I think converting to Catholicism is just, you know, very, very big decision. Mm-hmm. I think what would draw one person, you know, what keeps me as a Catholic might not be the right answer or the right reason for another person. And I wouldn't really, unless I knew them well, I really wouldn't know where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would, I don't know, maybe I would start by inviting them to Mass and try my best to answer any questions that they might have and let them just experience it, you know, alongside, you know, with me or another Catholic. I could, you know, shared with them my personal journey mm-hmm. and how important my faith is to me worship really within a congregation. And then I probably end up saying, okay, now let me introduce you to a priest who you should really be talking to, because I don't know if I'm equipped to, you know, guide you all along the way here. So that would be something that I would have to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good suggestion. Okay. Let's see. All right, this is the tough question, Alexis. If you could change one thing in your life, what would it be?
What would it be? Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of complaints. I've been very, very lucky. I've been very blessed. Mm-hmm. I would say that on a spiritual level, I wish I had listened more closely maybe to my religion classes. Of course, I don't know if I really listened at all at school when I was little, but, mm-hmm. I wish I had listened more to my religion classes when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I've always been confused with all the different names of the people and the places, the locations in the Bible and the timetable and everything. And I really, really miss that I've been taught these lessons so many times and that I just didn't retain it or really learn it. Mm-hmm. And I think my pilgrimage to the Holy Land was very important in that aspect because it helped me organize it so much better. And, of course, I realize that I still have so much more to learn. But, I wish that I could change that part of my life besides, little things. I don't know if I would change anything, to be honest with you. In my personal, non-spiritual, if there is a separation there, I don't think I would change anything. I've just been happy.
Oh, well, that's a great blessing in itself there.
I feel pretty good about it.
All right, and Alexis, our final question. What does your faith mean to you?
Ooh. That one I argue with a lot. I argue with it. I struggle with it all at the same time. I think that what it means to me the most is it's all about trust. It's all about trust in the word of our Lord. Mm-hmm. It's all about love. It's also about forgiveness. I think it's important that, we begin to forgive ourselves first. I know that really God loves me very, very much. He died on the cross for me, and every time I think about it, especially seeing it in the Holy Land, it just totally tears me up inside. So, that's pretty big for me. I'd like to say that I'm not worth it, but who am I to question God? I'm just not. But that's really the heavy part of my faith. Mm-hmm. Each day I just try to be a little better. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm being guided by, the love of the Blessed Mother as a mother. I depend on her a lot and also the Holy Spirit. And I know that I'm never alone. My health, my faith really, it helps me maintain a really positive attitude, almost a Pollyanna-like attitude on life. Because I think God wants us all to be happy. I don't think we could really argue with that in any way. So that's, I just have to have faith and take what comes and just stay positive and that no matter what, we can find a solution to really any problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just have faith.
And just trust that God has a plan, even if we don't know what it is, and even if we really want to know what it is.
Well, you don't really understand it. I've always said, I've always had these dreams that someday when I get married, someday when I, have a home, and someday when, and not all those things always happened when I wanted them to. Mm-hmm. And I realized that what actually did happen is so far much better than anything I could have ever dreamed. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids that all the time, Might not be what you planned, but look what you got instead. It's great.
Yeah.
That's the way I think God wants us to live.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Certainly.
And that concludes this One of Us podcast. Don't forget to follow the dialogue online and on social media for all the latest in Catholic news and features. For the dialogue, I'm Amanda Cathcart saying thank you for listening and God bless.